Tonight, I'm going to articulate ideas that I heard from Moran Harav Soloveitchik Zatzal on Parshas Truma. There will be some halachic elements, some halachic components, and then there's a very fundamental philosophic component that Rav Soloveitchik shared with us on the Parsha. Let's begin by just reading the first few psukim, where the Torah says, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'ichuli truma, me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhu es trumasi." Kol Yisrael are supposed to contribute to the Beis HaMikdash, the Nedava. The Torah then goes on to describe the different materials that are going to be contributed. V'zos ha'truma asher tikhu me'itam, zahav v'chesef u'nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, and in pasuk dalav uscheles ve'argamon b'solah shoni v'sheish v'izim v'oros elim ha'adamim v'oros chashim v'atzei shitim, a slew of different items that will be utilized in the context of constructing the mishkan. In pasuk vav shemen la'mor b'samim l'shemen ha'mishkan v'l'tor sasamim, obviously different materials for different purposes, abnei shoam b'abnei miluim b'leifo v'lachoshen. And all this is obviously designed to lead up to the mandate which Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to go ahead and carry out. Namely, v'asuli migdash v'shachanti b'socham, the obligation to go ahead and construct a Beis HaMikdash, construct a Mishkan. This is the mandate that the Torah describes. Now, you all are aware of the fact that there are two parshios, one in Truma and one in Tetzaveh. The one in Truma is focused on, as we know, the Klei HaMikshkan, the appurtenances or the Kelim that are going to be utilized in the context of the Mishkan. And then the Tetzaveh, we're going to deal with Big Day Kahuna. So what's fascinating is the Torah has presented now the order of the Klei HaMikshkan. Let's read Pasuk Yud. The first of the Klei HaMikshkan, says the Torah, Va'asu Aron Atzei Shitim. And the Torah describes the dimensions of this Aron. And the Torah indicates that the Aron is supposed to be overlaid with Zohar Tahor in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Mibayis Mechutz Tetzapenu, V'yasis Olav Zer Zohar Saviv. There's a kind of crown around it, and then we have different elements, different components of the Aron, and the Aron, of course, has Badim, and then finally in Pasuk Tezayin, so the first of the kelim that the Torah mentions is the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh houses the Luchos HaEdus, and that's what's mentioned here. And then the Torah goes on to describe the other Klei HaMishkan. So the Ramban, in a very famous comment and a very significant comment that you have in front of you, the Ramban underscores the distinction between the Aron HaKodesh and all the other Klei HaMishkan. If you look at the Ramban in front of you, the Ramban writes that Ulekach tziva tchila al drah HaMishkan, she'yeh lo bayis besocham. Initially, the Torah tells us about the obligation to construct the Mishkan, lishmo, l'shem Hashem, v'shom yedaber Moshe v'yitzav es b'nei Yisrael. Obviously, the Mishkan was a mokom hisvoados. It was a rendezvous, a place of meeting with Hashem Yisbarach. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, is the individual who conducts this dialogue with Hashem. And now the Ramban goes on, and a fascinating comment, despite the fact that the Torah presents in the Parsha of Truma a litany of Kelim, it's clear from the Ramban, it's clear from the way the Torah presented this Kli as the first Kli, that that's the most important Kli. Says the Ramban, V'hine ikar hachevitz b'mishkan hu mekom minuchas hashchina shu aron. What is the preeminent Kli? What is the most significant Kli in the Mishkan? The Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh is the abode for the Shechina. K'mo she'amar, v'noadati l'chashom v'dibarti yitchom yalak haporis. Al kein hikdim ha'aron v'akaporis b'kan. That's why the Torah initially presents in the list of Kelim, the foremost Kli and the one that's mentioned at the outset is the Aron HaKodesh with the kaporis, with the cover of the Aron HaKodesh, says the Ramban, why? Ki hu mukdam b'mayla. The Aron is the most important Kli of all the Klei HaMikdash, of all the Klei HaMishkan. And then we have juxtaposed to it, says the Ramban, Hashulchan, the menorah, Shem Kelim Kamoru. They're obviously also specific in Kelim. The Yoru Alinyan Amishkan Shebavur Al Naseh. However, it's very clear that the main function of the Mishkan was carried out through the agency of the Aron HaKodesh. The Ramban goes on and says, Ava Moshe Hikdim Bepashtu Vayakel Samishkan Esolo Besmechseyu. Moshe Rabbeinu Dirin Vayakel, when the Torah reiterates that Moshe Rabbeinu carried out all the directives of Hashem Yisbarach, so it mentions the Mishkan, the Oel, the covering, and the Ramban now lays down another very famous principle. Besides stating that the Aron is the centerpiece of the Mishkan, he tells you what exactly was the Mishkan. V'soda Mishkan, she'yakovel asher shochan al har Sinai, yoshochin al benistar. The Mishkan, according to the Ramban, is essentially the Maimon har Sinai experience. The Maimon har Sinai experience was a one-time, very dramatic, very charismatic kind of affair. Divine revelation. But now the question is, how do we maintain that revelation? How do we continue that Hashuas HaShechina? Says the Ramban, through the Mishkan, essentially the Shechina that rested on Har Sinai, as the Pasuk says, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, the Ramban cites it. That is the same Shechina that's going to be Shochen, Benistar, or Benigla, if you will, in the Mishkan. And the Ramban shows a number of very fascinating parallels between Mishkan and Har Sinai. Essentially, Mishkan was an ongoing, constant reminder of Har Sinai because of the fact that in Har Sinai, there was Hashuas HaShechina, the Mishkan was ongoing Hashuas HaShechina, and both of them really had a similar kind of Kedusha. That's what Absalom Eshi used to point out, what's called the Kedushas Mechitzos. We know that the Har Sinai was demarcated. There's Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael. So to the Mishkan also had three machanos, Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael. So in effect, the Mishkan is a kind of, if you will, alter ego of Maimon Har Sinai. The Mishkan and Har Sinai are equated by the Ramban. And the most important kli, of course, the Aron HaKodesh. And the Aron HaKodesh is the repository of the Luchos HaEidos. But the primary function is obviously Hashuas HaShechina. That's what the Pasuk says. Hashem is going to, in effect, dwell in the Mishkan. So Asalavichik Zatzal noted something very fascinating. If the Iker HaMishkan was the Aron and the Luchos, and that's why we know later on, the Pasuk says at the beginning of Pekudei, Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdos. How do we denote the Mishkan? It's called Mishkan HaEdos, based on the Luchos HaEdos. And that's what the Ramban here writes, the beginning of Pashas Truma, that the tachlis of the Mishkan was to maintain and to continue the Hashuas HaShechina that existed in Maimon HaSinai. And obviously Maimon HaSinai primarily was Matan Torah, where the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. So the major and most significant element or aspect of the Beis HaMikdash is the Aron HaKodesh with the Luchos. And the Rav said, Beis HaMikdash without Luchos does not consider to be a Beis HaMikdash. And even though we know in the Bayi Sheni, the Gemara says there were a number of elements that were lacking in the Beis HaMikdash, the Aron, the Luchos was not there. That's what the Gemara writes in Yuma and Daf Chafal from the Beis. However, the Gemara there in Yuma and Daf Nun Gimel from the Beis has a Machlokes Tanoim. What happened to the Aron? Did the Aron go into exile in Babel? Or was the Aron Nignaz Bimkomo? Did the Aron undergo Geniza? And the Rambam, in the beginning of Perek Dala Beis HaBchira, the Rambam writes, and when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he knew eventually, he saw through his Ruach HaKodesh that it was going to ultimately be Nechra, it was going to be destroyed. So what did he do? He built an underground kind of area where the Aron could be Nignaz. When the Aron, in effect, would no longer be operative, we could put the Aron in Geniza, way deep beneath the ground, in Matmonios Amukos Vakalkolos. And Yoshua HaMelech was the one who commanded it should be put into Geniza in the place that was set aside by Shlomo HaMelech. And Rav Soloveitchik explained that the Rambam Pshita is that really in Bayis Sheni, the Aron was there. The Aron, however, different than the Bayis Risho, where the Aron was Bimkom HaRoi, it was in its proper place in the Kodesh Kodoshim. In the Bayis Sheni, it was Bimakom HaLo Nachon. It was not in the proper place. It was deep down in the underground area. But still, there was an Aron with the Luchos because Rav Soloveitchik explained that a Beis Hamikdash without an Aron, without Luchos, is not a Beis Hamikdash. Har Sinai, without the Torah, there's no significance whatsoever to Har Sinai. And Rav Soloveitchik went further and pointed out that a Beis HaKnesses, the Gemara says in Megillah, a Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Ma'at. So that also has to have an Aron with the Sefer Torah. And the Rambam writes that very clearly in Perek Yudalef, Hilchos Tfilah, he writes, Ubonim Bo'Heichal, Shemanichim Bo'Sefer Torah. And again, a shul that does not have a Sefer Torah has an Aron, or doesn't have an Aron with the Sefer Torah, does not have the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, doesn't have this full-blown kind of Kedusha that it should have. So, in effect, we have, based in the beginning of this week's Parsha of Truma, we have a very significant, very important kind of statement. On another occasion, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that in the name of the Vilna Gaon, he said that the Vilna Gaon was very makbid, that Simchas Torah, when we have Hakafis, so no one should stand on the Bima when we have the Hakafis. Because the whole din of Hakafis, the whole concept of dancing around and having Hakafis and circling the Bima is based on the Gemara at the end of Tainus Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says that Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasas Machol LeTzadikim, Hashem is going to have a dance that will take place with Tzadikim, and Hashem is going to sit amongst them in Gan Eden. And each person is going to be able, Maria Be'etzba, each person will point with his finger and will say the Amar Bayom Ahu, Hine Elokeinu Zeh, Kivinu Lo B'Yoshienu. There will be such a high Madrega that will achieve Lasid Lavo, will actually be able to point to Hashem is Barach. As a matter of fact, as you probably know, there is a practice, there is a minog, when people say Bezos HaTorah at Hagba, they point to the Sefer Torah. That's based on the concept. The Gemara says that the term Zeh or Zos means something that I can point to. Ra, the Gemara says that Shivchar Hayam saw more than Yechezkel Mebuzi, the great Navi. So Asir Lavo, Hashem is going to make a machol for tzaddikim. He's going to sit between them in Gan Eden. Each person will be able to point to Hashem's barach. Hine Elokeinu Zeh, Kivinu Lo B'Yoshienu. So in effect, when we do our kofis at Simchas Torah, said the Rav, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch was in the middle on the bima. So it wouldn't be proper, it wouldn't be kavod Hashchina for someone to stand there at that moment. And our Soloveitchik explained further and said that the 7 days of Sukkot, what do? We take the lulavim, and we encircle the Sefer Torah. In effect, what are we trying to show? That by observing mitzvahs, namely the Zalmidim represent, of course, mitzvahs, one can ultimately come to the tachlis of Limud HaTorah. And Limud HaTorah, of course, is not the same as studying any kind of other secular discipline. Torah refers to the Chochmah of Hashem Yisbarach. Torah is Nitzri, it's eternal. It refers to the wisdom of Hashem Yisbarach, and Hashem Yisbarach and his Chochmah are all one. It all coalesces, it all merges into one. And in effect, by virtue of our learning Torah, we are grasping, we are trying to comprehend Hashem Yisbarach. We're trying to comprehend what Elokus is all about. And of course, that's the Malam Midarach HaTeva, needs a lot of Siyata Dishmaya. So always when you have a circle, all the points in the circle point, in effect, to the middle. And that's the whole idea of the Hakafas. Ayidei Shmir Samitzis, we come to the Tachlis, namely what's in the middle of the Bima, the Sefer Torah, Al-Gabi Abima, and therefore the Hakafas of Simchas Torah is a hemshech of the minyan hakafas of all the 7 days of the Yom Tov of Sukkot and the Beis Hamikdash. Only through Limud HaTorah can one ultimately come to the tachlis, which of course is to come close to Hashem Yisbarach. All the points, essentially, on the circle, namely the Sefer Torah, are all, in effect, directed towards the middle. What's in the middle? Hashem Yisbarach is Be'emtza. Rav Soloveitchik said, another occasion he pointed out, in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that's why the Gemara says in Nida, that when a person is born, so Malach teaches, a person learns the entire Torah, then the Malach comes and strikes the Ubar, as it were, until he forgets the entire Torah. But in reality, it's already embedded. It's embedded deep in the recesses of a person's heart and mind, and we're just simply trying to uncover it, to ferret it out again. And that's why Wayne was able to do it a bit more readily. Mishum Anika, that's how the Balatanya writes, and that's how Soloveitchik used to point out. So initially, we're just mentioning over from the Rav, this Yisod, that it's clear, the most important kli in the Beis HaMikdash, and the most important kli for that matter in Beis HaKnesses, is the Aron HaKodesh with the Sefer Torah. That's really the very essence of what it's all about. Furthermore, Rav Soloveitchik noted another very fundamental Yisod that he mentioned also a number of times, and really this is a very significant elements as well. There is a distinction between the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses. That distinction is described by Gemara in Brachas, Daf Samach Gimel, where the Gemara points out that the Beis HaMikdash really refers to the house of Hashem. The Beis HaMikdash is his home. And we are there, we are coming, we call you, so come, Aliyah the Regal, we come to actually visit Hashem is Barach. Shalos Pam Bashana, Yeroya Kol Zuchurcha, Espanei Hashem Elokecha. The idea of the Beis HaMikdash is a opportunity for each one of us to rendezvous with the Shekhinah. It's a Mokam Havad with Hashem is Barach. And that is exactly what the Beis HaMikdash is all about. But essentially, it's the house of Hashem that we come to visit Hashem in his home, and we are guests. Masha Enkein Rasul, as you said, in the Beis HaKnesses, that's our home, and Hashem comes to visit us. He is the guest. We are the hosts in the Beis HaKnesses, and he is the guest. That's why the Gemara says that if Hashem comes to Shul, the Gemara in the first paragraph of Brachas, doesn't see a minion, he becomes very upset. Madu Abasi Ve'enish, Karasi Ve'enone, why did I come and there's no minion? The Klal Yisrael did not gather together. And there are many distinctions between the Beis Hashem and our house. One of the distinctions that I've pointed out is that as far as the what kind of a tone should exist in a Beis HaMikdash, and the answer is the tone is one of mora, one of fear. The pasuk says, "As Mikdashi Tiro, Shapsosai Tishmoru Mikdashi Tiro." The idea of mora Mikdash, that one should have a trepidation, a certain fear of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the house of Hashem. Mashenkin, the Beis HaKnesses, there the proper tone is the tone of kavod. One has to show honor in the Beis HaKnesses. It's our home. That's why the Rambam writes, I mentioned this a number of times, that the ultimate ideal posture in a shul is sitting. Ashrei Yoshvei Meisecha Od Ya'alucha Selam. So this distinction between the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses, is it my house, is it the home of Hashem, is again another very, very fundamental distinction that Rav Soloveitchik used to note between the Mikdash Ma'at, which is the Beis HaKnesses, and the Beis HaMikdash, which of course is the house of Hashem is Barach. Now I want to share a very fundamental philosophic yisod that Rav Soloveitchik said over on a number of occasions with reference to this mitzvah that the Torah describes here in Truma, named the mitzvah of Asur L'Migdash V'Shachanti B'Socha. At first glance, this is a very difficult mitzvah to understand because it seems to be shrouded in mystery. Shlomo HaMelech already ask the question, if you look at Malachim Aleph and Perek Ches, Pasuk Chav Zayin, you have the following Pasuk. In the investiture of Shlomo HaMelech, when he did the Chanukah Sabayis of the Beis HaMikdash in Tanakh, in Malachim Aleph, the following Pasuk is stated, and I'll read the language of the Pasuk. Ki ha'omnam, yeshev Elokim ha'laretz. Is it possible that somehow Hashem should come down from his lofty perch, from his very high abode, and come down to the ground? The vast expanses of heaven are not able to contain Hashem. Hashem is infinite, and the world is finite. So how could the finite world contain the infinite? So if the entire world is not mesugal to be machzik Hashem is Barach, how could a Beis HaMikdash with very precise and specific dimensions, how could it house Hashem is Barach? How could the finite space house an infinite being? And the Rav cited a Medrash, a Yalkut Shimoni, that expresses this in a very similar kind of fashion, this issue. The Medrash writes, Shlosha Dvarim Shama Moshe V'Pi Agvura. There were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu heard from Hashem is Barach. V'nival, v'nirtal, v'achorav. Moshe Rabbeinu recoiled. Moshe Rabbeinu was absolutely flummoxed. What exactly are we talking about, says the Medrash. B'sha she'amar lo v'asu l'migdash, when Hashem told him to construct the Migdash, Omar Moshe l'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe said to Hashem, Ribono shel Olam. It says in the Pasuk in Tanakh, Hinei HaShamayim, Ushmei HaShamayim lo yichalkulucha, the heavens and all the expanse of heaven cannot contain, is not able to be contained. And therefore, v'yata omer v'asul l'migdash, and you're telling me to take a migdash and build the Beis HaMikdash? And the Medrash answers, omer l'akadosh baruch hu Moshe, lo kishem sh'ato sover ani sover. I don't think the way you do. My thinking is markedly different than your thinking. The way the Pasuk says, Lo machshavosai machshavosechem ulo darcheichem durachoy. Your way is not my way. Your thinking is not my thinking. But so what should I do, said Moshe? And Hashem told it. Esim keresh b'tzofon, esim keresh b'daron, shmonon b'mayrav. I'm going to give you very specific dimensions, where to put the crushing, where to put the boards, what should be the measurements of the boards. Vani yored u'mitzamtzen shchinasi lamata. Hashem says, yes, I'm an infinite being, but I'm going to engage in what's called sod ha-tzimtzum. I'm going to self-contract, and somehow I will, in effect, become smaller, diminish my size, as it were, and as a result, the Shekhinah will be able to fit. And the Medrash goes on to say, sometimes the entire vast expanse of heavens cannot possibly contain Hashem. But sometimes Hashem says, I will bring down my Shekhinah in a more finite, circumscribed kind of way. So Rav Soloveitchik posed the query on this medrash. The medrash asked the question, how could the finite contain the infinite? What's the answer to this question? It doesn't seem that the medrash resolves the issue, nor does it seem that the psukim resolve the issue. It's a philosophic conundrum, a philosophic quandary. How is it possible for a finite world to contain an infinite being? Hashem is Barach. Shalom Barach does not seem to respond. However, he continues over there in Tanakh, in Melachim Aleph, with the following series of psukim. Shalom Barach says to Hashem, Ufaniso al abdecha b'yal tzchinaso, Hashem Elokoi, Hashem should respond to my prayers, to my tfilos, lishmo el arina, v'yal atfila. Hashem should listen to my supplication. Asher abdecha mispalu lefanecha hayom. Li yosei necha psuchos al abayi zazeh laylev hayom. That your eyes should be open. Hashem, you should be open to the tefillos that Klal Yisrael are going to launch day and night from the Mokom HaMikdash. El HaMokom Asher Amarta Yesh Mishom. You said your name is going to be there. There'll be Ashuas Hashchina. Lishmor al atfila asher yispalu abdecha al HaMokom HaZeh. So instead of really answering the question, how could the finite contain the infinite, what does Moshe Rabbeinu, what does Shlomo HaMelech do? He asks from Hashem that he should be mekabel atfilos, and he goes on to describe a whole series of different situations, of different variables, of different scenarios that Hashem should respond to atfilos. Just to give you a number of examples, Esa sheyechta ishto re'eyu, if there's a ben adam mechavero isho, some sort of a conflict, a skirmish between one person and another. V'nasabo, and there the Shlomo HaMelech in the Tefillah indicates to Hashem that I would like you to respond to that, to somehow intervene. Or if there, God forbid, is a milchama, a war, so then when we are confronted by enemies, Hashem, you have to intervene. When there's a drought, atziras kishomim, be'otzer hashamayim lo yiyamotar, any tzara, any kind of cataclysmic event, any type of calamity, any kind of difficulty, rov ki yeh ba'aretz, if there's a famine, dever, pandemic, COVID, shidofon, yerokon, arbe, chasil, all kinds of agricultural blight and different types of phenomena, Hashem Yisbarach should be responsive to atfilah, not only to atfilah, but even to the tefillah of a non-Jew. The Gamal Anochim Asher Lo Me'amcha Yisrael Hu Ba Me'aretz V'Cholka L'Man Shemecha. Even a non-Jew comes to the Beis Hamikdash because the Baal Tefillah tells us Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah Yikarei L'Chol Ha'amim. All the nations of the world have access to the Beis Hamikdash, can come to the Mokom HaMikdash, can daven, can pray to Hashem, and he'll respond to the Tefillos. So in effect, that's what the Navi, that's what Shlomo HaMelech says over there in Melachim. Essentially, he wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a shomea tefillah. And even if a person's tefillah is not necessarily in order, something is missing, the person is lacking, one is not necessarily of the highest stature, of the highest madrega, but if one pours out his heart to Hashem Yisbarach, then Hashem Yisbarach will respond affirmatively. But again, did the question that was posed by Shlomo, was that question answered? Namely, how does the finite contain an infinite being? And that's a question which the Kabbalists, The Mekubalim actually raised this question as well, and they posited this concept of the Sod HaTzimtzum, that Hashem sort of self-contracts, diminishes himself, and as a result, the infinite is able to fit into the finite. We don't understand what that means. It's a mysterious, Kabbalistic, very, very secretive kind of answer. So the answer to the question really is not found in the Pesukim in Tanakh. No one really is able to answer this kind of a question. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, there were a number of requests we find in Parshas Kisisa, specifically two requests that Moshe Rabbeinu had of Hashem. Number one, he said, Hareini Noz Kvodecha, show me your very essence. And number two, Hodieini Noz Drachecha, let me know your attributes. So to the second question, Hashem answered affirmatively. Namely, he showed Moshe, Yud Gimel Mina Sharachamim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham V'Chanun. That's how we connect to Hashem, through the Yud Gimel Mina Sharachamim. But as far as the first question is concerned, what is the essence of Hashem? So the answer was, it's not possible for someone to know the essence of Hashem is Barach. That's an impossibility. So here also, this question that was posed by Shlomo HaMelech is impossible to answer. There's no way we can answer the question how an infinite being can fit into a finite space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof, and he created many, many worlds, but the worlds are finite in nature. And so therefore, this tefillah launched by Shlomo HaMelech, his intention was to underscore and somehow accentuate the value and the efficacy of davening to Hashem Yisbarach. He answers that tefillah. So that was the kavanah of Shlomo HaMelech, when he says, and here we see what exactly was the ratzon of Hashem. If we direct our tefillos to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mokom HaMikdash, which is the Dira of the Shechina, that's the abode of Hashem Yisbarach, the abode of the Shechina, ki'ilu we are there, the Shechina is facing us, and that's the reason why we daven facing the Mokom HaMikdash. That's a Gemara in Brachos and a Rambam and a Din Shulchan Aruch, because the Mokom HaMikdash is the Mokom HaShoras HaShechina. It's the most kadosh place in the entire world. And in effect, Hashem said, okay, I'm going to be mitzamtim HaShechina within that finite dimension of the Aron HaKodesh, of the Mokom HaMikdash, and you, by virtue of davening, Shomea Tfilo Odecha Kobasi Yavo, that Hashem Yisbarach will respond in a positive way to our tefillos. And unquestionably, all of us know that tefillah b'makom karban tiknum. The Gemara has two opinions, whether tefillah is connected to minim tiknum or tefillah connected avos tiknum, and both are correct. The Rambam has to pass in both the halacha that the avos, Avoseinu Akdoshim, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, are responsible for enacting shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv, and the Rambam paskins that. On the other hand, tefillos are connected to minim, connected to karbanos. And the Rambam paskins that as well. And there's no doubt that tefillah plays a very major, a central, very pivotal role in all of our lives. And unquestionably, what Hashem Yisbarach is looking for, he wants to see that we should want to come close to him, we want to connect with him, we want to be dovuk in Hashem Yisbarach, and the more powerful the tefillah, the greater the dveikus, the greater the kurva, the greater the connection that one has with Hashem Yisbarach, and all this comes about through the Mokom HaMikdash, and specifically comes about through the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh is the centerpiece of the entire Beis HaMikdash. V'asu l'migdash v'shachati v'socham, dafka, through the Aron HaKodesh. The Mishkan is not only a place where we have a repository for the Luchos, but the entire Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash emanates from the Luchos, said Rav Soloveitchik. And subsequently, the Kedusha of the Mikdash in Yerushalayim also emanates from the fact that in the Kodesh HaKodashim we have the Luchos and the Sefer Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And as I mentioned, even in Bayis Sheni, where there was no Aron of the Luchos, it was Nignas, it was placed downstairs, it was put into Geniza, but in effect, we still could do the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash of Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKodashim, because the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Tezayin Lama Gimel V'chiperes Mikdash HaKodesh, Mokom HaMekudosh L'Kodesh. That place is Mekudosh L'Aron. It's sanctified for the person of the Aron Kodesh. In other words, the Kedusha, the Kodesh Kodashim, emanates from the fact that it's a Mokom HaMekudosh L'Aron. Even if the Aron is not found there, as I mentioned, the Aron was put into Geniza, but it doesn't make a difference. Even though the Aron was put into Geniza, the Kedusha of the Aron emanates from the fact that it's a Mokom for the Luchos HaMichtam Elokim. And it's the Mokum of the Sefer Torah that's written by Moshe Rabbeinu. In effect, all the other Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and the Heichal and the Azara and the Mizbechos, all the altars, all the Kelim, all of them derive their sustenance, their Kedusha from the Torah, from the Luchos and Kodesh Kodoshim. And that's what the Ramban says here. Ikar hachevetz b'mishkan hu mokom menuchas hashchina. This is the centerpiece of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mishkan is the place where the Shechina rests. Shehu ha'aron. And that the Ramban says refers, of course, to the Aron HaKodesh. And that's why in Parshas Pekudei, the Ramban explained the Mishkan is called Mishkan Ha'edus, not only there, but also other places as well. That's the language used to describe the Mishkan because, as the Ramban writes, Hu ha-Mishkan ha-Nase l'luchos ha-Edus. What was the Mishkan constructed for? For those luchos. The entire Asiyas ha-Mishkan, the entire construction of the Mishkan was for the luchos ha-Edus. And that's exactly the impression that one has, certainly from the Ramban, but in general, one has this as well from many other Rishonim. And it was essentially the Aron, which is the centerpiece of the Mishkan, is a remez to the Chibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That Chibur that comes about through Nevuah, comes about through prophecy. The Gemara says in Baal Basra, in the first parak, Chacham Adiv Minavi. A Talmud Chacham is even greater than a Navi, than someone who has prophetic spirit, someone who's a direct communication with Hashem Yisbarach. Because one would have thought, perhaps, that the menorah that represents Torah, that is superior to the Aron HaKodesh. Of course, that's not correct. Because, in effect, the Aron is found in the Mishkan, in the Mokom Yosef Pnimi. It's the inner part of the Mishkan. And that shows you that it has a maila over that in the menorah. Why is that? Because, again, that the entire Torah was given with the Koch Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then that Nevuah and the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu is Me'al Chochmah. Hashem spoke directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Shorish, that's the source of all the Milas. And even though by menorah it also says, Kashitzibu Hashem as Moshe, and it says that by the Shulchan, it says that by the Mizbeach, it says that by all the Kelim, but the Aron represents this transmission of Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Mokar, that's the root, the Kol HaDvarim, that shows the Kesher between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, the Emtzos HaNevuah. And then, as we just mentioned, in the end of Bais Rishon, the Aron was placed into Geniza. There's the Machlokes in the Gemara. Was the Aron taken to Babel by Nebuchadnezzar? Or was it put into Geniza by Yoshiyahu HaMelech under the Beis HaMikdash? That's how the Rambam writes. The second opinion, it was put into Geniza under the Beis HaMikdash. The Aron was Nignaz, did not go to Babel, was not exiled to Babylonia, but certainly the Aron was no longer in its original place. That's for sure. And it doesn't make a difference, as Rav Soloveitchik said. Since the Aron is there, even though it's Mokum Gonuz, it's downstairs in a hidden kind of place. Mechalzot, it's very clear that the Aron represents the centerpiece. That is the most important kli that's found in the Beis HaMikdash. And that kli actually is critical to understanding the Mishkan, the Kelev, or the Mikdash for Kelev. And is that, for that matter, we mentioned that applies to the Beis HaKnesses as well. It's interesting that the Torah uses in Perek Chafei, Pasuk Tezayin, the lashon of the pasuk is "Vinasatel ha'aron, eisa edus asher etenei lecha." That what was put into the Aron HaKodesh, the edus. Rashi says, "What edus? What are we referring to?" Says Rashi, "The Torah." And if you look at the end of Parshas Vayelech, at the end of Sefer Dvarim, Sefer Asalavetchik, you'll notice another pasuk. The other pasuk says, "Vayike chalos Moshe."
Thank you.
Lichtov asdiri haTorah azos al sefer. Moshe Rabbeinu finished writing down the Sefer Torah. But then it tells us, Vayitzav Moshe es Halaviyim, Moshe commanded the Leviyim, he told them, Lokach es Sefer HaTorah azeh.
Yeah, to the Amen. How's it going, bro? I appreciate the way you work.
V'samtem also mitzad Aron bris Hashem Elokechem, v'hoyosham b'chol le'eid. There Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Leviyim, take the Sefer Torah, put it by the Aron HaKodesh, and it will be an aid. What is an aid? It will be testimony. The aidus that's mentioned over here in Pashas Truma is going on the Sefer Torah that's called aid. But of course, as long as the Sefer Torah was not yet completed, the writing of the Sefer Torah, the luchos had to be placed into the Aron HaKodesh. The luchos are also called luchos aidus. That's how the Torah describes it in Pashas Pekudei. Vayikach vayiten es aidus el aron. And Rashi says it goes on the luchos. So in effect, we see that this Aron HaKodesh that contained the Luchos is the Makom Hashoras HaShechina, and unquestionably, this is really the most significant and the most fundamental aspect of the entire Mishkan. The entire Mishkan was a means to an end. It was a Hechatimtza that we should be able to have the Aron Kodesh, to have the Sefer Torah, and that was the very centerpiece of what Klal Yisrael are all about. We'll just be Mesayim, we'll just end by mentioning that since Mishenichnas Adar Marbe B'Simcha, and today we heard from Rav Silverman Shlita very beautifully about this concept of Marbe B'Simcha. And the question is, how are we Marbe B'Simcha on Chodesh Adar? Undoubtedly, on Purim itself, there's a din of Sudas Purim, supposed to go into the Rambam, to eat meat, to drink wine, but the rest of the month, it doesn't tell us exactly how to be Sameach. How should we go about being in a joyous kind of mood? So how are we going to be Sameach in Chodesh Adar? So Bepashtos, the answer is that, as Rabbi Silverman Shlita mentioned, there's a contrast. The contrast is the Chodesh Av. What happens in Chodesh Av? There we have to be Memayik B'Simcha. The Mishnah and Av Chavov on the Beis and Maseches Tainis indicates to us that Mishenichnas Av Memata B'Simcha. We're supposed to diminish the amount of joy that we have. So how do we go about diminishing the joy? So Tisha B'Av, which of course is the most dreaded of all days, as the Gemara says, that it's in effect a day that was Miyuah L'Peronus. We don't learn Torah because Pikud Hashem Yisharim is Sam Chilev. So in effect, when we say that we have to be Mamayit B'Simcha and Chodesh Av, in other we have to be Mar B'Simcha. What does that mean? To be Mischazik in Limud HaTorah. To learn B'Toch Simcha. Simcha for the unbelievable schus that we have, shenafla bechalkeinu, that we can sit and learn Torah. That's the greatest simcha of Chodesh Adar, to be marbe b'limud haTorah. It's true that on Purim itself, we have to diminish the amount of time we're devoted to the study of Torah, because we have to be mekayim the mitzvah hayom, mishloach manos, matanos yavyonim, sudas Purim, v'chulo v'chulo. There we have to be osig in simcha gashmis, in a material kind of joy, but the rest of the month of Adar, the ikar derech, to be marbe b'simcha zayde limud haTorah. And even on Purim itself, as mentioned, the Iker HaSimcha is not only Achilu Shtia, but also the Rambam writes, the mitzvah of making a suda on Purim, but then he mentions what was said very beautifully today, Mutav la'odam la'harbos matanos evyonim, better that a person should spend more money on giving matanos evyonim mi la'harbos b'sudasa, than spending it on his own meal. U'bishulach manos areya, she'en sham simcha gedolam b'fu'ara. The greatest simcha that one can have is the Sameach Lev Aniyim V'Yesomim V'Almanos Yerim. It's to gladden the hearts of those that don't have the wherewithal, those that are less fortunate, those that are Aniyim, that are poverty-stricken, that are destitute, that are forlorn, those that are Yesomim, orphans, Almanos, widows, Gerim, to be Sameach them. And those, in effect, the Rambam is very clear. That's the greatest simcha that we have to be concerned about. So, in effect, Simchas Yom Tov, as we know, also involves that. And that was mentioned as well by Rabbi Silverman Shlita today. When the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov, he tells you in Perek Vov, Halacha Yezayin and Yudches, that the 7 days of Pesach and the 8 days of Sukkot with the other Yom Tovim are also Behesper V'Tainis, and the person M'chuyah to be Sameach V'Tov Lev, who Bana V'Ishto B'nei Besu Chal Nilvim Olav. And when you eat and drink, make sure you invite others, invite those that are downtrodden, those that are poor, someone who goes ahead and closes the doors of his home and is only concerned about his own drinking and eating. That is not considered to be Simchas HaMitzvah, but Simchas HaKeres. It's purely the stomach that's at work and not the ideal Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And it's certainly, under those circumstances, inappropriate. So when one asks, how does one go ahead? Mishenichnas Adar Marbe Misimcha. How does one go ahead? What is the nature of the simcha that one is involved in? And of course, the answer is the greatest simcha, which of course is the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. It's interesting that the term Aron, some trace it to the word Ora, Aleph Vav Resh Hei, referring to light, because the Torah inside the Aron Kodesh is called Or. Kiner mitzvah b'Torah Or. This is the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Bechaye in his Perush Al HaTorah and Shmos. A mitzvah is only likened to an air, but Torah is a floodlight. Torah is not just a small flashlight, which a mitzvah is, but rather Torah is a massive floodlight, the stream of light. And that's what the Medrash writes as well. Shemisham yotze ora la'olam. That's when light, in effect, comes to the world, the light of Torah, and that's how the Gemara Megillah dashes as well. La Yehudim ha'isa'ira, ha'ira z'teira, b'simcha, b'sasim b'kar, halavai, that this month of Adar, we should be zeichet to be marbe b'simcha, and the simcha primarily should be through the Or HaTorah, and in that school, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us, as we just mentioned, Ora b'simcha b'sasim b'kar, kein ti'elanu, l'netzach n'tzachim, u'la'om y'elamim, amen v'yamein.
Thank you, Shiva.
Okay. Shikach. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.